So let's talk about chores for children. I'll start us with a quote from Terry Maxwell. She's the author of these and some other ones. She has some other books, too, that she's written that are helpful about wifing and being a mother, loving the Lord. Life involves work, and Scripture clearly paints the picture that we are not to be slothful, but servants who work. Jesus himself set the example for us as he spent his life serving men. He took the chore of the lowliest household servant, washing feet, to illustrate for us what our attitudes should be as we serve. We believe the pattern put forth by Jesus calls us to view chores for our children in a positive and beneficial light. We want to use chores in their lives to draw their hearts to serve others and dying to self. Notice she said something there that I think is really helpful as a mom, is that we believe, and so if I am believing, that chores are positive and beneficial. When I help my children to practice and learn how to do chores, I'm not going to be coming alongside them with a heart that's full of pity. Oh yes, this is so sad for you. You have this burden. But instead, I will be rejoicing and reminding them of why this is good for them. And I myself will have that attitude ingrained so much in my heart that is what comes out when I see my child responding wrongly. I can gently correct them and give them hope in an empathetic but a very direct way. I'm not saying, well, yeah, you know, maybe we can skip that, or this is what we need to do. God's called us to do it. Let's do it. I'm going to do it too. Let's do it together. Does anybody have any comments on that? I want to look at the scriptures that she referenced there. Linda, were you going to say, add something?
No, but I there are so many helps here that I wish I had when I was, like I said, it was just the fact that I had so many kids that I had to do a lot of things, so I'm really thankful for that. And one of them was chores. It was like, I recognized early on, I can't keep up.
It's okay.
I have, and then I'm like, it's good, because you're going to learn. You need to learn to work, you know? And it's good, because nowadays I look at all my kids and they all know how to work. Like, they all have jobs, and they excel at their jobs simply because they show up and they do what they're supposed to. You're like, it's very simple to stand out these days. But a lot of that I attribute to, they were expected to work when they were younger.
That's a powerful testimony for young moms.
Well, I was going to say, we were not raised in a Christian home, but a work ethic was ingrained in us very early, mm-hmm. and it's in our whole family. And like Linda said, it's amazing because you show up and you do your job and you're a superstar. It's like, no, in my job, they would give you, they call them reward points for certain things. And they were like, oh, for doing this audit, you get, and I'm like, that's my job, you know? So, but you have other people who show up and expect a paycheck and don't do anything, so. Yeah, it's tough today. And I like that book title, Accountable, I forget, Accountable.
Oh, the kid one.
Accountable Kids.
Yeah.
This one, Accountable Kids.
Accountable Kids, yeah. Because accountability is lacking in a lot of, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, we just started reading, Lou Priol is our little book on faithfulness, and that's one of the first things he talks about. Is he goes to Luke 17 and talks about the faithfulness of like one little thing at a time and how important that is. And that's really challenging because we kind of overlook those things in our home and feel like they're not as important. Like, which really where God wants me to be is like doing big things out there. But this thing that I'm doing here is very important, and I can't do that without doing this. And if I've succeeded at all of those things and failed here at home, I failed at the one thing that I have been called to do. Those things, anybody can pick those up, right? Like, someone can fill in my spot and do those things. There is no other mother or wife or manager of this home, because this is the home that God has given me, and this is the children, this is the husband that God has given me. I have to prioritize that in my faithfulness. And if those things out there, whatever they are, start to get piling up higher and higher, it's time to have a conversation. Honey, I think I'm doing too much. I can't find a way to keep up here. I need your help. Help me discern what I should be doing. And tell your husband so that he can help you. Tell your parents. Tell your dear friend so they can point you in the right direction and help you to discern, what am I not doing that God's not called me to do? Maybe it's even something you really love. But for a season, it may have to be the less priority.
Yeah, I learned early on, like, there were times when you're like, this isn't working. This isn't working at all. And you're like, your first instinct is you want to throw in the towel and get upset. And you're like, but wait, God gave me these children, so there is a way to manage this rightly. And so having that as a foundation, same thing. You start looking at the outside going, what can I cut out until I get in the home under control? And there is a way to do it. You can't, like, you're tempted to think, this can't be done, this can't be managed, but there is a way to do it with joy and in a way that glorifies God. It's just, that's not what you're doing right now. So but there is a way, so you have to find it, and seeking counsel, and
it can be painful, because sometimes there's things that we're pulling back from, our things that we really enjoy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we have, you know, that's what I appreciate about what we're reading and what Lou's pointing out, is that we are often faithful with the things that bring us satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Either we like it, it's very validating, like, I finished it A to B, like, the whole package, it's a done project, versus, like, in your home with your children, you're never done. Mm-hmm. Someone else is applauding you or recognizing you, you receive some sort of compensation that's beyond, it's done. Like, maybe in your home, no one even ever says really thank you, except once in a while. You get money, you have a barter system, you get privileges. Like, if you were to, you know, do the front desk at a gym, you can exercise. Like, whatever it is, there's something intrinsic, that maybe it's a social aspect, but there's some dying to self that will probably need to happen. And it's so good to have a faithful friend, or if you're married, your husband, or both walking alongside you and encouraging you, and then even holding you accountable. Like, okay, this is what we've seen. Now let's walk forward. Now it's the action time. Because sometimes there can be that hesitation, like, I don't really want to pull the trigger. It's going to be so hot. It's okay. It may just be for a season, but we have to keep putting it in front of us, because we know who we are as women. We, and men are the same. They have different challenges and struggles. We know we're going to gravitate toward those other things. It's like, keep reminding ourselves, this has to be the priority.
But you can use those as goals. I want to be able to do this. What do I have to do in my home to have it running smoothly so that we can do that thing that I want to do outside the home.
Yeah.
So that can be good incentive.
Like the carrots. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's look up Romans 12, and then we'll go to Hebrews 6. So Romans 12, 11, these were two of the verses that Terry referenced. I just wanted to look them up. Romans 12, 11. Sue, do you want to read that for us?
Sure. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
Yeah, mine is a full sentence. Mine is, do not be slothful. What you're saying is not, you said not lagging
not
behind.
Not lagging behind in diligence.
Yeah, I like that, lagging behind. So do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit is mine, serve the Lord. Mm-hmm. Mm. There's a lot of ways we can be slothful and no one's working in our house by ourselves, except for our little children. Let's flip over to Hebrews 6. We're going to go down to verse 12, but let's come up to verse 11. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We want to be imitators of those who are godly, not being sluggish or lazy, not lacking in diligence, but persevering to the very end. And it might be encouraging when we're struggling with that in our homes too, to think of our husbands. I know my husband's a hard worker, and I think of how hard he's working, and I'm like, that's usually all it takes to kind of, whoa, I better get up and do something. I know he is working so hard, and I'm just like, how could I not work hard? But a different kind of hard work. So why do you think we should teach our kids chores? This is a great, I'd love to hear our comments. We've kind of alluded to it, but does anybody want to share? Why should we teach kids chores?
Well, we already said accountability.
Okay, so accountability.
That's life.
Yeah.
Real life involves chores. I know adults who were never taught to do chores like kids, and they struggle to keep just the basics done at home, and it's just miserable. Like, to live with a kitchen full of dirty dishes. So it's easier for them if we train them when they're young, and then it just becomes automatic when they're older. So it's a real blessing.
So that training for adulthood, envisioning one day you're leaving, this is what these things you're going to need to know how to do these things. And accountability. Any other standing we're going to say?
I just kind of off of that, my husband was one of those people who, till I met him, he had never done a load of laundry. Never, like, he might have, like, rinsed a plate off or something, but, like, never had to do a sink of dishes. He'd never cooked anything. Never cleaned a bathroom. He didn't even clean his room. His mom cleaned his room for him. And I was like, come again.
What?
So, and it's still, he'll, like, occasionally, because he wants to be helpful around the house, and he works a lot of hours, so it works out that he works, and I take care of things at home. He has very little inside the home. He takes care of the outside, but, like, inside the home that he does. But he'll be like, can I help with something? And he'll be like, okay, laundry. Where's the power? Like, after I would have a baby and he would do laundry for 3 weeks, he'd be like, power button, turn the dial to the left, push the water button. He just not use the machine. But that's so, even for the spouse of said person. It's a blessing to your family, to your spouse. I can't imagine being a gal who had never learned to, like, I don't know, I feel like as a guy, maybe you can get away with it a little bit more, but
until your wife messes up her knee, and you don't even see anything.
Yeah,
just
how's
don't even
Jim doing all the chores?
he's trying to be really helpful, but after he had to take the garbage out to the curb the first time, he's like, "What? Sorry." And then I had to tell him how to do it, and then he comes back, and later that night he's like, "Wow, you really do a lot."
Having a baby would be like,
oh,
I didn't even do anything extra. Like, I just kept the little people alive, you know?
Yeah, Jim readily admits that, too. Like, I remember having front loaders, and he walked in, and he's like, which is the washer?
I can't tell the difference.
They're technical. Pull the manuals out for them.
That's so great. I love it. Okay, so for helping our kids be functioning adults to bless their future spouses, for accountability, and I think we can probably safely say not just accountability, but also other fruits of the Spirit, like training our children in godliness. Chores will do it. Our own sanctification, that's a good reason, because you will get sanctified training your children in chores. And then even simply, you mentioned, Natasha, delegating, helping the family run. You have a lot of people, especially. And it doesn't mean that if you don't have a lot of people, you don't need to give your kids chores. But especially if you have a lot of people, that's one of the fastest ways for you to a burnout is not.
Humility.
Well, like Linda said, real life. I mean, if they go out and get a job, they have to know how to be diligent, how to be accountable, you know.
Yes.
So if you're a diligent worker at home, it transfers.
Yes. That's exactly right, and that's a testimony to the world without saying anything, just hardworking, showing up on time, working hard.
I know. I've never watched that Marie Kondo show.
Oh, yeah.
Just the other day, I think just flipping to Netflix and put it on, and there was an episode where it's a young couple, they have two little kids, I think like 3 and 1 or something like that. The wife stays home, but she doesn't do anything in the house because she's like, I'm just so busy with like taking care of these little people. Like the husband comes, he works like till 8 p.m. He comes home and he starts doing the dishes. He starts doing the laundry. And like they constantly fight about it. And she goes, well, I just can't do it. I have to feed them. I have to give them a snack. I have to play with them, blah, blah. And he's like, you're home. And I'm like, that's crazy. Like there's two little people. He's like, okay, say you can't do it during like when they're playing or how about nap time? Like the boy sleeps for like 3 hours and the girl sleeps, same thing. Like she goes, well, I need to catch up on social media. I need to like go take a shower and blah, blah. And I'm like, this is insane. The girl's like 22, 23 years old.
She needs her
She probably never did in her life. So it's kind of like, oh, okay. Maybe things will get done somehow. But they constantly fight about it. So this lady, the Marie Kondo, she came and she goes, well, I guess it's not that hard. Like, if the kid uses a spoon, just, like, rinse it off and, like, put it in the dishwasher. Like, yeah, it's not that hard. It was just, like, it just hit me. And my girls were watching me. They're like, see, this is why you clean. Because when you get married, like the husband, if you stay at home, mom, you're gonna fight. Just like, just that big simple thing. Like, yeah, I know, I know. I don't know, just like simple things like that, but I guess.
I feel like it helps them to be wise with their time too. Like, my kids know that, okay, after breakfast, they're like, Hadley's job is to empty the dishwasher and Carver's is to take the recycling out. And like, it's just the routine, and it helps them to not just have so much time, like, float. Like, no, we have things that we need to do to take, and it's like, I can do all of those things. I've been doing all, like, it's just been in the last, like, year or so that I started. Oh, hey, like, you can do this. Like, they can do more. They can fold, their shorts and their socks and underwear, and they put all of their clothes away. I hang up their shirts. I'm OCD about it. I'm not, like, want them all on the hangers. So I know that's my problem. But, they have
just listening. We're not judging.
It's a judgment-free zone.
Okay. They have their chores to do, though, and it's like, but that's, I mean, it helps them to be diligent and to know that, like, life is for, we've been talking about this a lot, where it's like, life is not for enjoyment. Like, it's not just to have fun all the time and to, because there are a lot of adults that think life is just for having fun all of the time and doing, and it's like, but this, and so they're also learning, like, okay, you work hard, and then, yes, you can rest, and you do have things that are enjoyment, but you enjoy those. You enjoy that time so much more when you have worked hard, and like, then it's a reward and it feels good and you can enjoy it guilt-free. And but like, they don't know all of that yet, but they're learning that, and they're
that's very true. I think one of the most important things that we can teach our kids is that we were created for work. It's not a result of sin. And that can be kind of shocking to them, I think, at times, because it is not pleasant. But it's good to remind them that Adam was set to work in the garden. Eve was created to be his helper. Work didn't come about after the fall. And working is a good thing. And that God gives me work. He gives you work. He gives all of us work. It's a good thing to be satisfied in the hands. Even God blesses unbelievers with the satisfaction of the work of their hands. Isn't that a kindness of the Lord? Kind of drawing their minds to recognize that. And then even looking at, well, what? How does the Lord work? God worked for 6 days, and then he rested. Did he need to rest? And walking through those questions with your kids, helping them see he didn't need to rest, but he chose to rest as our example. We also need to do our work, then take our rest, and pressing them into those things. Work can be used as a consequence, right? When we notice our kids are slothful or they're struggling to have a good attitude in something, seems like maybe you need to have a little bit of time focusing less on yourself. So I think you need to fill in the blank. Go pull the weeds. Here's a bag. I will check on you in a little bit, see how your attitude's doing. And then we'll see if you're going to be done or you're going to keep going. But that can be very helpful to remind them. Work is not a consequence of sin. It's a good thing to work. And especially if you're a man, you really need to be a very hard worker, because others are going to be looking at how hard you're working, and your life will depend upon it. Proverbs is clear. The man who's lazy will come to poverty. He'll have lots of wants and cravings, and they won't ever be fulfilled. Right. What were you going to say, Linda?
No, I'm just agreeing. Like, it's just, it is more of a joy, like Jenny said, when you've worked hard, than to rest or have. It doesn't really satisfy that's all you're pursuing. And I feel like to not give our kids chores and to teach them to work hard is just robbing them of things that they need to know and they need for life. And it's so much harder to learn at 22 or 23 than it is to learn at 6, you know? When you just grow up with it, it's just who you are.
Yeah, it's an expectation. And it can be shocking, I think, when your children are trained in that way, if they are ever seeing friends who aren't.
Yeah.
Then it's, okay, well, let's talk about other families do things differently, and that's all right. But you can see or hear in their comments or their responses, they don't do anything, or their mom does everything. It's like, but you can see that their expectation is, that's not the way that it ought to be. What? And that's great, because it should not be that mom is doing all the things. We're all in a family together. We should be working together to help our home. And I need you, and you need me. We're going to work together to make everything run the way it's supposed to. And some of the things, we talked about accountability, but some of the other things that we train our kids in when we train them in chores is obedience and good habits, time management, servanthood, others focus, self-control, diligence, responsibility, and even helping them have an attitude of like, I'm part of a family, I'm part of a unit, and I'm not just me. And my job is not just to be served and be catered to. My youngest said the other day, when I said, why don't you, you are free to serve yourself. She said, I need a fork or something at dinner time. And I said, feel free to serve yourself. Because I was still serving place. She's like, but I don't want to serve myself. I want to be served. I was like, I know. She doesn't know that you shouldn't really say that. It comes out. And I was like, that's great. I know we all do. Yeah. But God wants you to practice being a servant, not waiting to be served. And like you said, Linda, I think that one of the most important things that I think of when I'm helping my kids with chores, because there are times where I'm like, I really want to take the time to train this child to do this. Especially this chore is like hard for this child, and maybe I can just skip and give it to a different child. Or our goal is adulthood. We're training men and women to go out into the world, and we want their lives to be a living testimony. Now, what if they aren't believers? Their life is still a testimony of where they grew up and their home. So your child may not be a believer and they go out in the world, but they know when you tell them, or someone gets to know their family, oh, you went to what church? Who were your parents? Who were your siblings? And you live your life like this? And you don't want it to be like that. I don't want it to. I don't want to bring any shame upon the name of Christ, because I raised a child who's just utterly entitled and lazy. Like, oh, you know, people just serve me. There's things that are not under my control. But as much as I'm faithful, I want to be faithful so that everyone knows in our family, we're going to be hard workers. And then when we're done hard working, we're going to play. My husband is infamous for that. My kids love it. He works them really hard when I'm gone, and then they play really hard. So, like, they'll do all the things, and it's great, but it's also super fun. Whereas mom's just more like, we'll do a little work, we'll do a little play, we'll do a little work. And so they're glad to see me when I come home, because it means the hard work is super, super hard work. Like, we're ripping up all the floors, and we're moving all the furniture. That has come to an end, but also the super hard fun has come to an end. Like, there's no, like, we're not going to the movie getting ice cream. Like, we can just put a show on right there and here's the popcorn. You know, it's not as fun with mom, but. Does anybody have anything to add to that?
Even if they're unbelievers, when they're adults, life will still be better for them if they know how to work hard.
Yeah, the blessings of being raised. Yeah.
So true, so true.
Well, our family's a testimony to that, because Linda and I are the only believers in the family, but we have, a brother and a sister, that are both, even our brother who was an alcoholic was a hard worker, right? Because he was raised that way. And their kids, like the next generation, same thing. They're all doing well. They're all hard workers. And, like I said, not believers. We pray for them, but because of how we were raised.
It's just not real life. I'm sorry, but if you grow up and you're on your own, it's not real life that you're just going to be served. I mean, I don't have millions of dollars to pass on to my kids so that they don't have to work. So if I can't give them millions of dollars so they don't have to work, then they're going to have to work at some point. Yeah. They have to.
Yeah. So and those things will come out as we are speaking, right? Like we talked, I think, in one of our previous sessions about how worldliness can come into our thought life, and it will come out in the way we speak. So we won't call, for instance, laziness. Laziness will say, like, well, you got distracted or something. Well, no, you're being lazy. Right. Or the job was so hard, I wasn't sure if I could do it. We had some wasps outside, and one of my kids was like, I'm scared that I'm going to get stung if I take this out to the trash can. And I was like, okay, it's okay. If you get stung, you'll be okay. But we had just been listening to
a lion in the road.
And that was the verse. I said, remember, there's a lion in the streets. The lazy man says, the sluggard says, there's a lion in the streets. I can't go. I'm so afraid. They find things to be afraid about and even inflate things in their own mind. They're captive to fear, but really that has come about because they've had no self-control. They're a slave to their flesh, and they just want to be lazy. So in comes all this other sin. And so they went out. They got stung by the wasp. They came back inside. I gave them the ice pack and sprayed a little spray on it. And I was like, all right, let's go back. Let's take it. Where's the trash? It's still laying in the yard. Let's go put it in the can. I'll go with you. And they're, oh, no, I'm going to get stung again. Well, are you okay? Yeah. So do we have more, like, itch spray? Yeah. I get more ice packs? Yeah. It's okay. Let's go. If I was the only person here, I'd have to do it. I'm with you. Let's go. So he had the trash bag. He goes out, and he's got, like, a shoe in one hand because he's like, I want to whack it away. He comes. He grabs the trash can. I'm helping him. We lifted the lid, but we were fine. But help, and then the next time he had to go out and get something from the car, he's like, oh no, there's wasps out there. I was like, that's okay. We're not slaves to fear. We're going to do what needs to be done. I'm going to pray with you, and then you go out and get it. You'll be okay. But having to keep taking our mind captive to that truth, and that is the beauty of chores, is that they're going to reveal strengths and weaknesses that our kids have.
Or if your kid's allergic.
He's not. Yeah, I was going to say that.
So you're like,
what
happened to the wasp?
Do you need a can of
wasp? No, I didn't think of that.
Bless your family with a can of
wasp. Yeah, we have wasp spray.
Merry Christmas.
No. We have wasp spray, too. But I was like, okay, great. We'll take care of that. Like,
teaching moment first.
There was nothing even out there when I went. I was like, there's nothing out here. Like, I don't.
I was going to say, like, you're brave because, like, one of my daughters were she's allergic, and we didn't know. And the first time she was stuck, it's like we ended up in the emergency. Aww. And my sister, same thing. So me and bees and wasps don't do good. So I wouldn't go out there.
I'm not allergic. He's had lots of bug bites in his life. He's never had any allergy to them or like super sensitive skin. So I knew most of it was. I was like, I might get stung, and I knew that as I said that, and I was willing to take that risk because I was like, this lesson is important. Yeah. We don't let our fears conquer us. We conquer our fears through Christ. We lean on the Lord and we do the thing that's hard. And we have to do that every day with a lot of things. Yeah. And oftentimes we kind of skirt around it. You know, like, honey, there's a bug, kill it. Or, oh, I don't want to, someone else can drive over the bridge or whatever. I don't like, right? But the reality is we're training our children. And I don't want my children, especially my boys, I don't want them to grow up and be fearful.
Yeah.
I can't do scary
that
30-year-old
guy that throws the trash out in the yard because there was a wolf. But realistically, you tack 20 years on that scenario and
That's not okay. You want them to be able to take, especially being a man, part of being a man is taking risks. Mm-hmm. And you have to take risks when you ask that girl, are you interested in going for a cup of coffee? She could reject you. You have to take risks when you go to talk to her parents. I'd like to date her or I'd like to marry her. Would you say yes? You have to take a risk when you take a job or when you think about moving or getting new situations every time, like a church or a home. So you want to be willing to take the risk. And then in young women, it's the same thing in a different way, right? Like we have to follow the guy taking the risk. Like, okay, I'm willing. I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to support him as he takes the risk, and if it doesn't work out, I'm going to be right here saying, good job, I love you, we can do it, right? And so teaching the wasp in the trash bag is, like, small, but it's so big because in the world of, you know, little guys, that's a really big deal. Like, it's terrible, but then, oh, it was okay. It wasn't really as bad as I thought. I know. Isn't that great? It really wasn't as bad as you thought. Right. It's okay. So helping them overcome those things reasonably. But, yes, I will be looking for where the wasp is. I'm looking at it out there. I'm like, I don't see anything. You know. So, yes, it's really important that we help our kids to do a really great job in their obedience because we're also giving them a really wonderful opportunity to learn how to be a kid doing their playing. Those are, like, the two main jobs of a kid, right? So, like, we give them full play time, like you're saying, Jenny, and then we start cutting off little chunks of it and giving them chores to do at work because it's like we're sliding you toward adulthood. A little bit less playing, a little more working. A little bit less playing, a little more working. Slowly, right? And helping them to see it for all of those things so that when you give them a chore and they're like, well, but I already did my chore today. Oh, no. you're part of a family. We have extra chores today. Or I found this thing that needs to be tidy. Or we have company coming. Or whatever it is, we're a family. We're all going to be working. And you can't see your brother's doing this, but he's over there doing it. And you can't see dad, but he's over there doing it. And you can't see me. We're all going to work together. Okay, ready? Let's go work. And we have this attitude of we're doing this together as a family. I didn't necessarily make the mess, but I'm part of the family, and I want to help contribute. And then even beyond that, helping them see, you maybe didn't make the mess. Maybe someone came here who's not part of our family and made the mess. And we're still going to clean it up. Because this is part of being diligent and being good stewards of what God's given us. Being in this world and sharing the light of Christ with others, I'm going to choose to pick up or clean up things that I didn't make messes of, don't belong to me, etc. And I'm not looking for that attitude of, I want to be served. I don't really want to do that. Now, we know kids aren't really going to say those things unless they're five, probably, right? What are some of the ways that comes out?
Whining.
They whine.
Too tired.
Oh, I'm so tired.
I don't know how.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Questions. Yeah, I have a lot of questions that Philippians 2:14, do everything without grumbling or complaining, questioning or arguing. I had a version when my kids were younger, and so I have a couple of kids in particular, and that was their little default. If I ask you a lot of questions and I appear incompetent, maybe you can give this chore to someone else. So then I had to, after I had to like kind of confront them, like, are you asking me questions because you don't want to do this chore? Well, I mean, okay. So no more questions. Go do what mom's asked. Then I'll be willing to hear whatever you need to say to me. And so now I know those kids. Okay. Well, after I give them something to do, and as they get older, it morphs, like it's not as clear, right? But helping them to see, you can do it. You can do it. It's going to be okay. And I don't even have to know that you don't like it. You just need to go do it. And there's time and place to say that. It's not every time, but there's time and place. Or what are the other ways that kids tell us or show us, I don't really want to do this. I don't think I need to do this. Someone else needs to be doing this. That's not me.
Eye roll.
The eye roll. Linda, or Sue, what were you going to say?
When... my sister, not Linda, our other sister. And
yeah,
I
don't tell a story about Linda. No.
Well, she's 10 years younger than me, but our other sister was like right behind me. And my mother's thing was the vacuuming, the dusting has to be done every Saturday before you can go out and play. And we would swap off. But she was the one who very slowly, and my mother's thing was dusting had to be done first. And I'd be like, give it to me, I'll get it, because I want to go out and play. And so sometimes the sharing of the chores doesn't always work because she knew if she just did it slow that I would take it over. Uh-huh. And because I just wanted to go, you know, get out of there and be done. And so she just, again, that's, I think it's like the stall technique. And I think it works on a parent too, where it's kind of like, all right, we got to go, you know, let me finish it.
It definitely does, because then you're distracted and you forget to come back. But if it happens enough, you remember, okay. This is, I had a poor little guy last week that happened. Joel's like, wow, this chore that should take 15 minutes. You're like,
Dragging.
And there's so many chores that have been added now because of your lack of diligence. You're literally on hour two. And the kitchen is closing in 10 minutes from dinner. You won't be eating dinner unless you're done in 10 minutes, buddy. Like, then suddenly it was like hustle, big time. And I was like, that's great. Mm-hmm. But it was a little, you're like a little grieving in that time. You're like, I want to go back on the thing that I said as the parent because I really want you to have dinner. But also, I want you to not be lazy. Mm-hmm. Which one do I want more? Mm-hmm. I think I want the not lazy.
Yeah, sometimes we have to stop the compassion.
Yes,
and not
stop
rescue
the compassion.
And
that's
not
what
rescue
we need
them
the
because
or
it's what's best. Because mom's heart wants to go and rescue. And we can't always do that.
Yes.
Because it's not what's best.
It's the, that's great imagery, Linda, just thinking, don't stop the compassion. Don't short circuit what the Lord's doing by trying to rescue on the front end. You want the rescue on the back end years from now.
Right.
You want that to already be in place. Like they're rescuing themselves from difficulty because they know I've got to work hard. I'm going to have to push through. I have to do this thing that I'm called to do. And on the front end, it might look like, okay, I need to leave a little bit more room for consequences when they're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, what, through whatever. I do remember telling a kid, and that was one of those stuffing the compassion moments, if you are unable to continue in taking your chore and making it happen, you're not going to get to go participate in this activity that you love. And then I was like, so make sure you don't forget, because they forgot a couple times, and it was a chore that affected the whole family. It was the taking the trash to the curb chore.
Mm. Oh. That affects the
whole
neighborhood.
Yeah. It was rough because our trash man came so early. It was years ago. Our trash man came so early, like before 7, so early. I was like, I knew if they didn't do it at night that they were going to miss the morning, and then it would be. And so my husband and I were in our room, and I was like, oh man, I hear the lights going off in the living room. I don't think he's gonna take it out. I really don't want to follow through on what he said. I want to go back on it. And then I hear the garage door open, and I was like,
thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord!
We were just like cheering, and you know, like, I never told him that, but I was just like, thank you, Lord, it's so great. Because we happen to follow through. It's hard. So we want to make sure that we're giving our kids chores that are helpful to our home and not be discouraged when it doesn't look as good as when we do it, too. Mm-hmm. So, like, have you ever heard that trying to clean with children at home is like, fill in the blank, what have we heard? What idioms have you heard?
Shoveling sand against the tide.
Shoveling sand against the tide.
Herding cats.
Herding cats. I've heard brushing your teeth while you're eating Oreos. And I was like, oh man, what a visual. Yes. So it does look like maybe nothing's happening. You have to learn how to leave a lot of things halfway undone because you need to tend to your children and help them. That's okay. Remember, we want to elevate peaceable home and good relationships over perfection, which means your towels won't be folded just the way you like, maybe. A lot of things. Like anything that you like it done to a certain level, just let it go. Let it go. Because your home being tidy is not what chores are about. Chores are not about your home being tidy.
Right.
And if you think that chores are about your home being tidy, you're going to get angry because it won't be to your level. Chores are about training your children in godliness and your own self in godliness. Because what will be revealed when you're training people? Think about it. Let's talk about what's revealed when I'm training this 5-year-old to unload the dishwasher.
Patience. Or lack thereof.
Yes. Irritation.
Things are going to get broken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Put in the wrong spot. How many times have you as a mom gone to go to cook something and you're short on time because that's the perfect recipe for that anger to come out? But it does feel very justified because I am cooking for this family and everyone knows that this utensil belongs in this particular drawer and why is it not here? Because I need it right now and I have to leave in a minute, X, Y, Z, right? All the pressures. Mm-hmm. And so things aren't put away where they belong. Where's my something? My S hook for my mixer. I need to make bread. Where is it? I have to do this right now. The timer's going off. We can't find it, right? So anger, things will get broken, misplaced. Washer because they put something in wrong or they pulled a rack out and a wheel or a piece comes flying off and you're like, do I fix this? Why did this happen? They'll jam something in there in the wrong way and you can't open the top thing and you're like trying to open it. And
it's all sound like very something. Real scenario.
Like a pen or a crayon gets left in a pocket and goes through the laundry and gets on everybody's.
And that's why you do the husband's laundry all on his own.
So there's a lot of potential for essentially, I don't get what I want. Like, this is my home. I want things a certain way. Is it your home? Do you deserve to have things your way? Isn't it better to grow in holiness and train your children in godliness? Isn't it better that God is kind and revealing your sinful idolatry of your home and having things your own way and peaceable and controlling things? So those are just some of the things that might come out, right? Especially if you have a lot of children or you have time that you're like, I've scheduled everything and this is taking time I didn't plan. I did not plan to do whatever. Who stacked things on the shelf of the refrigerator this way? And I opened it and they all salad dressing. I remember that one Sunday morning explicitly. One salad dressing thing comes down, it splashes over my dress. I'm like, we're supposed to walk out the door. I have to go change. There's salad dressing all over the floor.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is don't sin on the way to church. Okay. Because you're just thinking so many, I want to find someone to blame because that will solve everything. If I just know who did this, then it will be like, it's all fixed. And salad dressing stains and it's like slippery and just, it was a lot, you know, and that did happen more than once. And you know, it's like, God is so kind because he gives us just we need. You have tailor-made situations so that we will grow in godliness. Mm. So giving your children chores is not about keeping your house clean. It's about growing in godliness for you and your children. Your house getting clean is like, it's a bonus. Like, woo! They put whipped cream on my coffee. Can you still enjoy the coffee without the whipped cream?
Yes.
But it's great when it happens. Like, well, they actually, you want to like go rub and hug them and like give them, you did the chore on your own. It's so great. I'm so proud of you. We want to try to make sure we're giving them a little bit of chores throughout the day, ideally, because that's really great, because that's the way the real world works, right, Linda? You were saying, Jenny, so we get up in the morning and we do this. So similarly, like, okay, like, in the middle of the day, like, someone maybe cleans up from lunch, or when they go to school, like, when you get home from school, it's not just, like, lounge and have a snack. It's also do some sort of chore to contribute to the family, because the family lives here, and the family makes messes, and the family enjoys the home, right? I mean, a messy home is a good place. It means the stable's full, right? That's a good thing. But it does mean someone needs to clean, and it can't always be mom. It's not good for training in godliness if it's always mom. Mm-hmm. Does anybody want to add to that? Any questions, comments?
It's too bad you don't have any real life examples that you can give us.
So many, and so many of them reveal my own sinful attitudes on my children, taking out my anger at not getting what I want because they maybe were childish and they left something on the shelf. Maybe they were actually sinful. They were lazy and they cut a corner. Either way, I didn't respond rightly. Like, wow, Lord, okay, so then this is okay. I can train, I can ask more questions, I can help them to walk through this and show them your actions have a consequence. Like, if you do your chore really great, you bless us, it's so great. If you do your chore really crummy manner and you're just sloppy and cut corners, and you know, you're talking about your sister Sue doing things slow, there's like on the flip side, it's the person who's like so fast they just shove it in the closet and shut the doors, and you're like, that was too fast. I'm gonna open the. Whoa! Okay, you need to clean this because this is not clean. Like, why are all of your church clothes in your drawer, just shoved in there? Well, because I cleaned up my room. Why is this dirty shirt in your drawer? Because I cleaned up my room. Are clean clothes in the laundry too? Like, what is happening? Right, helping them to walk through that so they'll be prepared adults.
It really is a great way of revealing. You know, if you let your kids, if you serve them all the time, and you just don't see that, where when you press them to do the things they don't want to do and to train them, all these things come to the surface. And it's so much better to see them and deal with them than to have them glossed over until they're adults. And then they're major problems.
Mm-hmm. You know? It is quite exciting to see, like, so my first kid is launched out in the world, and I'm like, wow, there was lots of great things in there that I trained for that don't come out as much at home around the comfort and familiar family. They're just like, wow, this is great. It worked! Yeah. You know, you're like cheering, it worked, the experiment was a success. And just seeing all those things you trained for so many years come out, like, and the expectation, like, of course you'd do this, of course I would serve, of course I would work, of course I would contribute. That's just what you do.
And when their spouse comes back to you and says, wow, I'm just so thankful that this person is this way. And you're like, oh,
it's so hard for so many years. I'm so thankful. You know?
That's encouragement young moms need to hear, man. That is so. I know we've all seen on the flip side people who are adults who are very self-focused. It's like only their life exists, only their things exist. And they're really, like, expect to be served. I'm always shocked when I go into a building behind someone and they hold, like, a door open for themselves only. And I'm behind them, like, by step. I'm like,
on crutches.
So, Linda, you take the cake.
You're there wrestling with the door, trying to push the heavy door. And you know, and you're trying not to put weight. And people are like, oh, she's struggling.
Not over exciting,
right. Of course, probably everybody else in the waiting room is more lame than me. So that's why you get up and you open the door.
So that might be why.
I almost got bit by that door too.
But that is why you see moms with young boys going, no, thank you, hold on just a moment, we need to practice. Okay, right? You see me doing that on a Sunday morning is because I am training my boys. You hold the door open for others. You hold it open. If there's a stream of people, you hold it open. Mm-hmm. This is what it looks like to be a godly young man. And then you don't expect people to open it, hold it open for you.
Right.
This is a godly young man. So helping them to see, my life is not about me. And that doesn't just come from I became an adult. It's the years of we look for others. We look for ways to help. We look for ways to serve. We look for how to meet a need. Not, well, that's not my chore. Oh, you don't say that at our house.
That's not my chore. That's not my job.
It could be your chore.
Yeah. Well, now it is. Isn't that great? I don't hold back. back that opportunity from you any longer. So yes.
And it does carry through. I can remember I was working at AMP, which is no more, but anyway, the power went out and they had to pull all the stuff out of the meat case to put it in one of the refrigerators, you know, to keep it because it would hold temperature. And one of the kids on the cash register, a young guy, and they said, you need to go back and help with this. And he goes, that's not my job. And they made him, they said, you either go back and do that or go home. And he left. His mother came in the next day, went to the manager and said, my son was hired to do blah, blah, blah. How dare you tell him to do this?
Wow. That's the problem.
This is years ago, and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, anything they tell you to do, you do. That's your job. You never say,
you can take your son home.
Not my job.
And you can keep him.
Yeah, exactly. And that's pretty much what the manager said. He's like, yeah, we don't need him. Take him home.
Wow.
Yeah. But you don't want somebody, like you said, not my job. It's not my chore.
We do not say that.
No.
No, we do not say that. Theodore Roosevelt said, I wish to preach not the doctrine of ignoble ease, but the doctrine of the strenuous life. That's what we should be thinking about as we are training our children in the habit of perseverance, especially in a job they might not prefer. We want to encourage them. Straining and having strenuous activities is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. We want to help them to see there's more beyond just where you are today. You're this age, you live here, this is, you know, mom and dad are in charge of bedtime. It's helpful when they have others around them. So when they're growing up in the body, they can see, oh, other families look like, oh, they have bigger kids, they do different things. Or then they're in a family and they can see siblings. It's helpful for we can point to, listen, this is why we work diligently. One day you're going to get your driver's license. One day you're going to, do you see how necessary it is? This wouldn't be able to happen without the diligence on this end and helping them to kind of look toward that. Let's look at Colossians 3 real quick and read a verse in there before we start talking about the practical how-tos. Colossians 3, let's go down to verse 23. All right. Who wants to read for us?
You can. Whatever you do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for man. Men.
Oh, and verse 24.
Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve.
Amen. So we're serving Jesus. That's really helpful when mom is a little bit grouchy. And it's okay to say that, and I've said that to my kids more than once. Listen, you're not giving respect to mom because I deserve it. I don't. You're not obeying me because I'm so worthy of obedience. I'm not. You're doing this because the Lord says it. So let's honor the Lord together. Let's strive to obey the Lord together and work diligently together. There was a great book that I got when my oldest was young. It was called Just Like Mama. It was like a Mennonite book, right? So they're doing a lot of farm things that we don't do, we've never done, but they look really idyllic in this book with paintings and whatever. The idea was the little girl wanted to be just like mom. So she did all the chores that mama did and was kind of bragging to her cousin, I'm just like mama. I look just like her. But she kept, every time she'd drop an egg, she like spilled the bucket of milk over when she was milking the cow. She ate more berries than she picked, you know, when she tried to cook something and spilled whatever. And at the end, you know, mama comes and brings her on her lap and says, let's seek to obey the Lord and grow in godliness together, essentially was the idea. So, but coming alongside your kids, I thought that was such a great example. I love the idea. It's painting there, which is your kids are watching you. You don't have to talk about what you're doing for them to see, oh, I want to do that. So we want to make sure that we're teaching them. We're doing the do that we're telling them to do, because otherwise they're going to look and go,
But how are you doing it?
And joyfully.
That makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it comes across like this is a miserable chore that I really don't want to do, then they're going to see it as a miserable chore that they don't want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So no pouting, no sour faces. And depending on where they are, right? So in age, it's appropriate to say, you know what? Mom needs to do blank. Will you come help me? This is my hard chore. You know what you don't like? Let's go do this together. And praying with them and showing them, how do you handle hard things? How do you, just like if I've got a kid that's struggling with a chore, I might come alongside them and say, you look kind of sad. What's going on? How's this going? Where are we kind of poking around? Well, I really wanted to da-da-da-da-da, and this is a better chore, and I would do this. You know what? I know you can do this chore. I have seen, and encouraging them, right? Like the Lord came to Gideon, he's hiding in the wine press. He wasn't courageous man of valor, but what does the Lord call him? And so kind of helping our kids to see you can, in Christ, do the things you've been called to do. That's what the verse of Philippians is about. We're doing all things through Christ. It's not climbing a mountain. It's you can do all the things God has called you to do through Christ. You can do this chore. And helping them, right? Helping them unload the dishwasher a little bit, showing them this is, after the initial training, there's still bumps, there's still hiccups, right? Like, I've never had to clean the kitchen with this much mess in it before. I always work with this sibling and they're not here and I just don't know how to do it. Or I haven't gotten, you know, it's like that book, Alexander's Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. They're having one of those days. They're like, oh, woe is me, everything's terrible today. You know, you're like, it's going to be all right. I'm going to come along and trying to come along and help them, imagining, okay, if I'm training this person for being an adult, how do I want them to train their kids? When their kids are going to be doing chores, they're going to be remembering when they learned how to do chores. How do I want them to train their kids? Mm. Do your chore, I said to. I showed you one time, you should know how to do it. I'm sure the training is, though, over and over again. We're going to talk about that in a minute, about way more times than you think you needed to. And then the checking, and then the going back and doing, and the checking some more. And just over and over and over until you're like, all right, this is doing so great. All right, swap, new chores. Like, we're doing great. We're going to swap around. So let's talk about chore systems. There's about a million chore systems. You could pick one. You don't need anything fancy. Remember, it's like a buffet of options, right? So all the things you talk about, it's not like, oh, well, Marie does, Linda does this, Jenny does it. I have to do. It's just options. You just pick what you like and go for it. Knowing you're going to have to change it. It won't last forever. And you won't be able to probably do all of the chores every day. Probably not most of the days. You're going to aim for like 65%. And if we got most of the chores done, we're doing great. We're mostly on schedule, we're doing great. And then the days when you're not, you don't just like chuck it, right? We talked about that in one of our previous lessons. Oh, I skipped brushing my teeth last night. I came home, I was so tired, I went straight to bed. Oh, I guess I'll never brush my teeth again. Right? Or I guess I'm just done for this week, no more brushing teeth. We keep being diligent, knowing life throws us these, we call it curveballs, right, in the world, but we know it's really the Lord sovereignly working out all these things that we need to grow in godliness. Like, wow, it was really going to just, like, be such a godly person if all the things on my schedule had happened like I expected today, but they didn't, and now I am really not being as godly as I thought it was going to be. So, if you have a lot of chores already, you're already part of way there. Some of these things I handed out to you on our chores for kids, you can see one of the first ways you can start your chore chart is just make a master list of all the chores you need to do at your house. If that feels overwhelming to you, just pick a few main things, like vacuum everything, wipe everything down, dust everything, change filters, right? You don't have to start by overwhelming yourself, or pick a room at a time. And talk to your husband. What do you like, honey? What's important to you? And he'll tell you. I really want the counters to be clear. I have a friend that she's like, my husband really wants the counters to be clear. I'm like, okay, so clear. And she's like, well, and then she's talking about all the little things that are on the counter. I'm like, listen, friend, if it's a struggle to do this, you've got a lot of young kids, get a big bin. Right before he gets home, just do this. And she's got a, like a bureau that's like pretty much empty for decor next to it. I'm like, put it in there. And then as you have time over the next day or so, put things away from it. But I'm like, if he wants the counters to be clear and you're like, he's coming home, then just clear the counters. Did he say he wants everything organized that was on the counters? No. Does he look in that bureau? No. Does he care if you do that? No. Okay. So just clear the counters, right? Because she was making it more steps than just clear the counters. It was like, well, then I've got to put things away and some of those are papers I've got to file. So then I'm going to get out the filing bucket and I've got to file things. And it was lots of pieces that were so many steps. It was hindering her from doing the one thing he cared about, was just nothing on the counter. And he didn't care what the dining room looked like. So I was like, just go put it in the dining room. I mean, you know, thinking sometimes you just take someone who has a different perspective to help you think through those things. Get your husband to give you input. Try to do the things he likes. I did that when I was younger, not do that, and it was like, I should have done that, and then I'm so glad I did. He cared about the living room being clean. Why was I cleaning the pantry? Nobody knows, because I liked it, because I was in the pantry with the laundry all day. I was like, honey, come look, I decorated it. There's like quotes, I'm like, ah, I can be a godly woman. He's like, this is great, why is the living room wrecked? I'm sorry. So that's a really great place to start. And then start looking at ones that can be done by your kids. And then you see there's the one that has the ages there. Yeah. That gives you an idea. Your child might be slightly different than that list. That's just an idea. right? You may have a child who's like really an overachiever. They're so competent. You could have them clean the entire house and they're like 10. You're like, awesome. You might have a child that's 10. It's like, you need to do a chore where I can see you because you are lacking in self-control or diligence. I see you and I send you off and I don't see you for 30 minutes and you were doing a 5-minute chore. Okay. And I'm managing all the other people and things that I forget to check on you until it's been 30 minutes and the timer goes off. I'm like, where are you? What have you been doing? That may be your season. You may have certain things that you're like, I really need this to be done well. And I have got someone who will do this well. So even though they're overqualified, I'm putting them in that position because maybe I'm out of town this day or I don't feel well. I'm going through a season of sickness or whatever it is. Maybe I have more responsibilities. I really just need this thing to be done well. So I'm going to put that person there and I'm going to rotate other things around other kids. I'm going to plug them in. Yeah, plural, I'm saying kids, plural. However many children you have. So you may want to share about that. Evaluating chores and kids and
just they all had chores. They just all did. It was survival. And it's kind of funny because then when they got to be older and they weren't doing chores anymore, it was really hard. I was like, I don't know how to clean. Like, what? I have to do the dishes.
Vacuum the house in 15 years.
And then I was trying, I was like, well, who can I ask to do this? And I'm like, oh, well, he's going to school full-time and working full-time. I probably can't ask him. He's working two jobs. And he's working at Red Rhino and beating his brains out for 10 hours a day. And he comes home and can barely drag himself in the door. Am I going to ask him to vacuum? Really? No. So then you're like, wait, I guess I'll do it. Then I'm like, but I'm spending hours cleaning up after all these people.
Still so many so people, but less workers.
Right. So that's yes. When I was like, I went to my husband and complained. And he said, tell them they have to hire a cleaning lady. And I'm like, well, honestly, that's real life, isn't it? You either do the chore or you pay somebody to do it, right?
Yes.
And so I'm like, well, you tell them. And he went to him and said, do you want each one of them? Here are your options. You can either go back to doing chores or you can pay for something. I'll pay. They all were like, I will pay. Great. The cleaning lady costs this much. We divide it up. Everybody pays their share. We got a cleaning lady. I was like, that's real life. That's if you're great. Out living on your own, you either, I don't give the option of living in a pigsty. It's you either clean or you pay somebody to clean. You know, yes. In real life, you either do it or you pay somebody to do it. So yes. They pay to do it and they still pay to do it. Yes. I love it because we have home group tomorrow night. And I cannot get around. And they will come, she will come and she will clean my house from top to bottom, all three bathrooms, and it will be spotless. Yes. And I don't have to worry because I can't hobble around on crutches and do it. So.
Yes.
So awesome. Moral of the story, complaining to your husband gets you everywhere.
Yes.
Honestly, isn't that the truth? Is that, like, no, sometimes right, we're yeah. like, yes. I don't know. Yes. And if we just go to our husband and go, I'm yes. having this problem. Yes. Can you help me? Yep.
And he's like, there you go.
There you go.
Oh,
like,
oh, I never thought of
it. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like, I've been wrestling with this for weeks. Why? Where were you? Uh-huh.
Yes. That is case in point. Talk to your husband. Ask your husband. You may have a totally different... Every husband's different.
Right. Ta-da! And it's so important to ask him what is important to him.
Yes.
What is it that bothers you? What do you want to see when you come home from work at night? You know, because you might be over here doing what you think is most important.
Like you said.
This is most important, yeah. And you just missed it.
Yes.
Totally and then you're... Yeah.
And then follow through on it. Because Trevor's most important thing is dusting.
Really?
He could care less if there's a sink full of dishes. He doesn't have any clean clothes wet, but if... Things are dusty. It drives
that's
him crazy.
Interesting.
Like,
oh.
Yeah.
Everything else is on my list before dusting. So, and I struggle to be faithful with dusting because in my mind, it's least important.
Oh, no.
So,
we used to take old socks mm-hmm. and the kids just put them on your hands.
Yeah.
And,
well, I do. I delegated because the kids think it's just the greatest thing ever. I let them do the bands too.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get swivers?
Great time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They have a great time, and it's great because now I get to be considered faithful to just. Because I loved it before.
You are. I mean, he delegates
now
at work,
right.
And that's his job.
Yes.
Yeah. But delegate at home.
Yeah.
Good job, Jenny. So, make your chore list. Just jump in and do it. because you're going to have to fix something on it eventually or right away. And make sure you show them what you want them to do and how you want them to do it. Write it down, maybe. We have like a list for how to clean the bathroom on the back of the bathroom door. You literally can't miss it. It's right taped on the door, right there.
Ta-da!
If you're ever not sure what needs to be done, there it is. And then go check it. So you tell them what they're supposed to do. You show them how to do it. You check it. You watch them do it some. If you have older kids and you already know they've done lots of cleaning for years, they should know how to do what they're doing. And you encourage them. You can do it. Good job.
The younger ones too.
The older ones can check the younger ones. We even have a phone checking system because we have an upstairs now and we are in 2023, so here's my phone. Go take some pictures of your whatever you're supposed to clean and bring it back to me. Because I'm in the middle of something. I'm cooking, I'm doing this, I'm meeting this person, I'm reading with this child, I'm making my own bed or cleaning my own room. Go take some pictures and bring
it
back.
Give me proof.
Zoom in, what is that? Why is your drawer like that? Fix that. Okay, top of your dresser, what should be on there? Too much stuff. It's great. It's wonderful. And you can tell them, and you're like, good job. Sometimes you have to keep sending them back. Resist the urge to step in and fix it for them. They really do need to learn. If I don't have time to do it right the first time, I definitely don't have time to go back and fix it the second, third, fourth, fifth time.
Mm-hmm.
You want them to only make mistakes because you notice that they are striving to do it the best they can. And then you come along gently and say, okay, you only have a few things. Maybe you don't harp on every detail of all the things because you recognize they're really striving. I was just reading about Moses gently rebuking Aaron and his sons because they hadn't burned the offering just the right way. And Aaron was like kind of making an appeal to him. And so Moses was like, okay, basically, I understand. But the way he thought he was not honoring the Lord, and the way that he reproved them was so gentle because he was able to discern their desire was to honor the Lord. Like they were seeking to please the Lord. It was not a rebellious.
Right.
And I was like, that's really interesting. I need to remember that. Like, I want to be gentle in my reproofs. Especially when I see my kids are striving. They're trying to do this chore. Like they didn't do it like the best maybe that it could have been, but they're really striving. I need to make sure that I'm not making something bigger than it needs to be. I don't want to kill their desire to be helpful.
Right.
I want to encourage them. I want them to be good servants as they get older. Bob Schultz has a couple of books I brought in last time, a couple times ago. One of them is called Created for Work. It's for young men, but I read it for all of us. It is so good. Here's a quote from him. In the education of boys today, we've lost the importance of work as a most effective tutor. What is the good of knowing how to read or write if a young man doesn't have the heart to work, to produce, and to create? After 12 to 16 years of inactivity, folks wonder why all their teenager wants to do is sit on the couch playing games.
Mm.
I can't improve upon that.
We were at an automotive convention, and one of the speakers was like, they were bemoaning, because everybody was bemoaning this generation of workers and just how awful they are. And he's like, but you're forgetting one thing. You raised them.
Yeah. I'm like, not my kids! They will not!
So we want to make sure, too, that we're being careful of our expectations. So not expecting you're going to do it just as well as I did and just as fast as I did, etc. And also that there's a lot of encouragement and praise. We are in the business of preparing our kids for adulthood. So we want them to be competent. We want them to keep striving. If they're not doing well in something, not to just give up. We want to be patient with them and kind. We want to encourage them so that they're seeing there's hope. I can do this job. Like, folding or whatever this thing is hard, but I can do it. I can break it into pieces. I've got a list. Mom's equipped me. She's showing me. I'm not without hope. And there is a way to see success in the midst of, like, I have so much to do. I'm never going to be able to. It's okay. One piece at a time. It's okay. And on the reverse side, you have the kids that are like, I'm going to work so hard to get it all done, and then I'll be done for the day, right? And I'll have, like, the whole rest of my day to myself. And they're very diligent and hard working, but for the things you told them to do. And so then for them, coming alongside them and encouraging them, sometimes you will be asked to do more. Your boss might tell you, you've got to unload the stuff in the back.
Mm.
Keep your hands open. Your day does not belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. I'm going to do my best as your mom not to exasperate you, but your time doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to me either. It belongs to the Lord. So some of the things that I thought about was we were as I was thinking about these things, was how we can help our kids to see their weaknesses and strengths in their chores. So sometimes weaknesses come out. We talked about weaknesses. What are some strengths that we see when we give our kids chores?
Organizational skills.
Mm-hmm. They're really good at organizing.
Mm-hmm. Or being really diligent. Yeah. Or directing others.
They're very good at being leaders. They're very good at managing people, mm-hmm. managing tasks, or getting the tools needed to get things done.
Or they encourage because you encourage them.
They're good encouragers. You can do it, guys.
Yes.
Yeah. They're good at getting the job done, getting in there and just being like, I'm scrubbing the grout till it's done.
Yeah.
And I'm just, okay, well, when we're done, we're done. They don't grumble, they don't complain. Yeah. They just keep working until it's done.
Or teamwork, like coming alongside.
You're really good at this, you do that. What if I do this? And how about you do that? And we'll all get it done.
We'll get it done together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or helping. You need help, I'm done with my part, I'll come help you.
Mm-hmm. On the flip side, one of the things that I ran into sometimes was, you know, giving a chore and even, you know, having explained it and whatever, and just having a child who is particularly, they might complain or carry on. And then because when you have a lot of kids, sometimes you tend to be in like a whirlwind. You do this, you do that, blah, 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 you know, and you're giving orders and then somebody's not doing their job and you're like, I always wanted to bark at them, but then sometimes you realize that what I told them to do is overwhelming to them, mm-hmm. or they just can't figure out, like, where to start, and they're kind of, you know, and so they might complain or whatever, and it's like you have to be careful to sort of read the situation right and appropriately address the situation and not just jump to conclusions that they're being rebellious.
Yeah.
So I have speak from experience on that one.
Thank you for sharing that wisdom.
Yeah.
Yes, so asking the questions, what's going on? How are you? Right. Are you feeling about what I just gave you to do? Do you understand what mom wants? Hmm. What seems hard about that? Are you confused? Do you know where the tools are that you need to do it?
Right.
What are you going to do first? Kind of talking about it with them. That's where sometimes writing those things down can be helpful, so they have a list and steps to go about it.
But see, all that requires time.
Yeah. In a quiet room by yourself.
No. And that is the key, is making sure you have the time to do that. And that your life is not so scheduled and so busy that you're just blowing through everything and barking at everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I just heard that. Some people do that.
Someone
somewhere
asking for a friend. Yes. Yeah, that is very true. So that's good. The idea of having chores, one of the things that's helpful when you don't change them often is that your children understand how to do their chore and they can get really good at it. So being careful after I've explained it and showed it to you, okay, now I want you to do it. And we're going to keep doing it for a good long while, right? So there's not a set time, right, that you can choose, but we don't change chores that often unless I'm noticing there's a pattern, a sinful character pattern in their life, and I'm like, okay, you can't go upstairs and do that chore because you've disappeared. You don't have enough self-control over your own passions to not pick up a book and read it or play with your Legos. So you're going to do a chore down here where I can see you because I have to do my chores too. Like, I have to clean my bathroom and clean my room and I have to do paperwork and I have to do things that require me to be here. So I need to be able to see you and not forget about you. And once I see that you're growing in maturity, then I'm going to give you back the privilege to do the other chores that are out of my line of sight.
Plus,
like that.
Plus, if they do the same chore long enough, whatever they're not doing will show up.
Mm-hmm.
If you swap too often, the next person will cover up that weakness because they'll clean it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... And ultimately, we know the Lord is the one who's over all of the things. So our children will be dealt with by Him. If you've got these children you're raising and caring for here in your home, and they're growing, and they're out, and you're just like, they are just terrible at certain chores, or a lot of chores, or this particular, you're like, you know what? God will take care of them. I do not own this child. I am just stewarding them. I'm going to pray for them, that the Lord would work in their life, and I will be there cheering them on and encouraging them and praying for them.
Or they'll marry rich. have somebody else do.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Right.
Probably. So
you actually don't want that.
No, I know. I mean, I know.
Oh yeah, that would be a challenge.
But that used to be.
Lord, I thought you were going to help them. What is happening? Okay,
no,
never mind.
No,
that,
but
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that
I don't
used
want them to
be...
get away. I want them to be real people who know how to do laundry and cook and clean.
But that used to be one of the expressions. It was like, you need to know how to do this because you're not going to marry a bitch.
Lizzie, you mentioned this at the beginning and I hadn't said it yet, but a practical way to divide up your home is into zones or parts, you said, Linda, which is helpful as well when you have a quick tidy up kind of a situation. It's just another way to divvy it up. We've done that too. Like afternoons, we have zones. Okay, you two are downstairs, you two are upstairs. Just, it's a pick up and put all the things away. Or this is your zone. Everything that needs to happen in this area, you know, so go ahead and do that area. And then you can just estimate, I know how much time it's going to take you. All right, great. So then we know all the bases are covered. We have everything looks decently done for the evening. Make sure that you check what you've assigned. Don't assign it if you can't check it. That is really, it will frustrate everyone when you go and check the thing that you assigned 3 weeks ago or last week or yesterday. And you're like, why doesn't this look good? What's going on? Well, we knew you weren't going to check it, so we just didn't really do it.
Well, then you're actually... teaching them to sin and teaching them to be lazy. Like, it's not a matter of being neutral. You just didn't do it well. It's you're actually teaching them to not do it well.
Yeah.
Or
to look for that loophole and take it and be slothful.
Yeah.
So it's better for you not to assign anything.
That's a good point.
Honestly.
That's great. I like people that. A little painful. The only other thing that I wanted to mention that I thought was great, which we mentioned, seeing our kids are good or strong in certain areas, weak in certain areas, and teaching them some of those weaknesses we mentioned, like we may notice some are good leaders, teaching others to be good leaders. And some of my kids have said, I don't want to be the leader. This is hard. I just want to be the doer. And I was like, I know, but it's now time for you to learn how to be the leader. Like, you know, we have certain jobs that require teamwork in our family, so you're going to be the leader, and then these people are going to come underneath you, and you kind of direct and manage, and you're going to have to... you know, just be ready to repent when you're too harsh. They know that. They're like, it's really, how do you not get angry when people are lazy? I'm like, I know. I've had a lot of practice, but I still struggle sometimes. And teaching them how to work with excellence and prioritizing tasks and managing, like, okay, if I got to get this done and that done, I was just telling a kid today, I've got to do this and this, and I'm like, well, it doesn't take an hour. Well, but set a timer. So I walked through practical steps. Set a timer. Get as much done as you can. Think about it like exercise. You are going to just be dashing around that bathroom with your clock, and you're doing start, top to bottom, and you know the little things that need to happen. Just make it happen quickly. This is not a deep clean. I was like, oh, okay, I can do it. That's all that they needed, but it was just like a different perspective.
Actually, that's a fun thing to do sometimes, is just to race the clock. Just for
that's
fun.
Great.
Set a timer and go,
yes.
Can you get it done?
Every boy loves that task. I don't know if boy doesn't love that task. That is a great one. Yes, I do set the timer, racing the timer, especially if you have a child that's your sister, the slow duster. Yeah, especially if it's like time and there's kids outside playing.
Yeah.
It's a really good one. So we want to make sure that we are helping our kids to look for ways to be faithful, and we are looking for ways to be faithful as parents, noticing the spiritual deficiencies they have and encouraging them in the strengths, helping them not to live lives that are self-centered, expecting to be served, living by comfort, seeking pleasure only, but acknowledging God's actually given us the blessing of having fulfillment in our tasks. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So even though you may not like cleaning the toilet, we can feel fulfilled at the end, like, hey, make that toilet shine, you know? Do I have to clean the inside too? That's my favorite quote. I'm like, yes, that's literally okay. I don't even. you just try to laugh a lot, like, I don't know, what do you think? Because it's just living life with kids, and they need to hear it a lot over and over again, and then they can kind of laugh at themselves too, like, yeah, that is silly. What was I thinking? Or they're like, no, I'm serious. Do it. Yes, you do. And then you hear an older sibling laughing, come on. You know, so.
Like the child who takes a really quick shower and you're like, I see mom, I'm done.
Did you use soap?
Mm-hmm.
Why is your neck still on the dirt line in the crease? Go back. Also, your knees are still brown. Go back in there. Yeah.